You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, full of grace and mercy, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is Trust in the Lord, Part 2. My scripture is Proverbs 1:3-8. My text is Proverbs 3:5-6, which states, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord is necessary for fulfilling any of the wise ways of life taught in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord is closely connected to fearing him with all thy your heart, indicates that trust goes beyond intellectual assent to a deep reliance on the Lord, a settled confidence in his care and his faithfulness to his word. Do not lean on your own understanding, further explains trusting in the Lord. One's understanding in Proverbs is his perception of the right course of action. The wise will govern themselves by what the Lord himself declares, and will not set thine own finite and often mistaken understanding against his. We must have a continual regard to God's providence, must own and depend upon it in all our affairs, both by faith and prayer. Number one, by faith, we must rest an entire confidence in the wisdom, power, and goodness of God, assuring ourselves of the extent of his providence to all humans and all their actions. We must therefore trust in the Lord with all our hearts. We must believe that he is able to do that he will, wise to do what is best and good according to his promise, to do what is best for us if we love him and serve him. We must, with an entire submission and satisfaction, depend upon him to perform all things for us, and not lean to our own understanding as if we could by any forecast of our own without God help ourselves and bring our affairs to a good issue. Those who know themselves cannot but find their own understanding to be a broken reed, which, if they lean on, would certainly fail them. In all our conduct, we must be distrustful of our own judgment and confident of God's wisdom, power, and goodness, and therefore must follow providence and not force it. That often proves best, which was least our own doing. To make straight a person's paths mean to make the course of the person's life one that continually progresses toward a goal. In Proverbs, the emphasis is on the moral quality of one's life path. By prayer, in all thy ways acknowledge God. We must not only in our judgment believe that there is an overruling hand of God ordering and disposing of us in all our affairs, but we must solemnly own it and address ourselves to him accordingly. We must ask his leave and not design anything but what we are sure is lawful. We must ask his advice and ask direction from him, not only when the case is difficult, where we know not what to do, no thanks to us that we have our eyes up to him, but in every case, be it ever so plain, we must ask success of him, as those who know the race is not to the swift. We must refer ourselves to him as one who, from whom our judgment proceeds, and patiently and with a holy indifference wait his award. In all our ways that prove direct and fair and pleasant, in which we gain our point to our satisfaction, we must acknowledge God with thankfulness. In all our ways that prove cross and uncomfortable and are hedged up with thorns, we must acknowledge God with submission. Our eyes must be ever to God. To him we must, in everything, make our requests known. For our encouragement to do this, it is promised, he shall direct thy paths, so that thy way shall be safe and good, and the issue happy at last. Those that put themselves under a divine guidance shall always have the benefit of it. God will give them the wisdom which is profitable to direct, so that they shall not turn aside into the bypaths of sin. And then will himself so wisely order the event that it shall be to their mind, or, which is equivalent, for their good. Those that faithfully follow the pillar of cloud and fire shall find that though it may lead them about, it leads them the right way and will bring them to Canaan at last. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We must live in a humble and dutiful subjection to God and his government. Fear the Lord as your sovereign Lord and master. He ruled in everything by your religion and subject to the divine will. This must be number one, a humble subjection. Be not wise in thy own eyes. There is not a greater enemy to the power of religion and the fear of God in the heart than conceitedness of our own wisdom. Those that have an opinion of their own sufficiency think it below them and a degradement to them to take their measures from, much more to restrain themselves with, religion's rules. Number two, a dutiful subjection. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Take heed of doing anything to offend him and to forfeit his care. To fear the Lord so as to depart from evil is true wisdom and understanding. Those that have it are truly wise, but self-denyingly so, and not wise in their own eyes. For our encouragement thus to live in the fear of God, it is here promised that it shall be as serviceable even to the outward man as our necessary food. It will be nourishing. It shall be health to thy navel. It shall be strengthening. It shall be marrow to thy bones. The good judgment, moderation, and being sober, the calmness and composure of mind, and the good government of the appetites and passions which religion teaches tend very much not only to the health of the soul, but to a good habit of body, which is very desirable. Envy is the rottenness of the bones. The sorrow of the world dries them, but hope and joy in God are marrow to them. Jesus died a very painful death on the cross, so that our sins may be forgiven. So let us trust in the Lord with all our hearts and obey his commandments. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Thanks for tuning in. We consider this a safe place where you can be encouraged during these challenging times. Today's topic is revelation. What is revelation? Revelation means that something that has been hidden is now made known. If it isn't revealed, it remains hidden. Some people see God that way, hidden and unknown. This view assumes God does not want to be known, or even that God is incapable of being known because God is just a vague, impersonal force like gravity. But God has revealed himself. He is not hidden. He has spoken to us, and if we listen, we can discover what he is like and come to know him in a personal way. God has two textbooks. One is the textbook of nature. By looking at the world, we can learn something about its creator. The other is the textbook of revelation, the world's greatest book, the Bible. It is more than an ancient record of events. It is God's word given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. God has spoken and he still speaks. It is God's desire that all would come to know him and to be saved. Are you listening to God or to everybody else but God? At this point, as you ponder that question, some of you may be thinking that I listen, but I'm not clear on what God is saying. You may feel like you don't have a close relationship with God and you sense that you have missed the mark. You probably heard that Jesus came to save you from your sin, but you're not sure how that works. Well, if that's the case, I've got good news for you. Realize that all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loves you and gives you the opportunity to come to him, acknowledge your sin, and trust him as your Lord and Savior. Will you respond to his call? Remember, God gave his son Jesus, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Pray, trust, and obey his word. And until next time, my beloved, stay encouraged by knowing that God loves you. And when God is in it, there is no limit. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.